And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Last week, we considered the first part of that phrase, lead us not into temptation. And just as a reminder, I suggested we're not really talking about temptation here in the sense of I was using the great temptation for me of another piece of pie. We're not really talking about that kind of temptation necessarily. We're talking about more than that. That the word temptation really means a time of testing, a time for us to show our faith. And I suggested that life is a series, if not, according to some, a continuing array of such tests and temptations. And when we ask God not to lead us into those times, it is not God who tempts us. It is we who tempt ourselves, and we are really asking for God to see us through those times of trial and temptation, and to not let us be overcome by them. So that's last week's summary. Today I want to talk about deliverance. Now I realize as soon as I say deliverance, the movie buffs among you are hearing banjo music, but try and suppress that. But we say, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I can't move past this little word but without pausing for a moment. It's a simple conjunction, and yet Scripture is full of very important buts. It's a conjunction that shifts things, that turns things around. So, for example, if anyone ever says to you, oh, I love you, but look out. It's going to change. In Scripture, we often get but or yet at moments when things look dark and awful, but we are reminded of God's love and God's salvation. And so it is in this phrase, lead us not into temptation, acknowledging this world is full of tests and temptations. But, we say, but, we shift things. But, deliver us from evil. So what is evil? I suspect each of us would come up with all sorts of different ideas of what is evil. It's worth noting that the word used here, the Greek word, covers a wide umbrella of things, from just the general idea of evil all the way to the idea of the evil one. And you'll see that English translation in some translations of the Lord's Prayer. Deliver us or save us from the evil one. You know, the personification of evil, the devil. Now, I want to leave that quickly because I don't think it matters whether you believe that evil comes from some personified being, you know, who sort of sits on your shoulder and makes you do evil things, or evil is something that perhaps resides in each of our hearts and causes us to do evil. I don't think it really matters. The idea here is deliver us from evil in whatever way, shape, or form it might manifest itself. And it's worth considering what evil is, or maybe better, what it is not. Most of the great theologians, in at least the history of the Christian church, and I think many of the Jewish theologians from way back as well, would argue that evil is not something that exists in and of itself. Evil is the opposite of, or even better, the absence of good. So what is good? Love, joy, peace, harmony, health, unity, laughter. It is the absence of these things, or the opposite of them, that is evil. suffering, pain, gossip, slander, disharmony, sickness, disease, despair. Evil is anything really that causes us to be drawn away from the good. Anything that gets between us and the good. Anything then that gets between us and God is evil, or at least potentially evil. So deliver us, we pray, from anything, God, that's going to get in the way of our relationship with you, our pipeline to the good. And that covers a wide area. You might think in this idea of evil, think about it in terms of light and dark. I mean, what is darkness? Well, it's the absence of light. I mean, we wouldn't really know what darkness was if the sun never rose. You know, if we lived on Pluto, we might have no real concept of light. Darkness is the absence of light. We notice it when the light is not there. And so it is with evil. It's the absence of goodness. And you can probably think of times in each of your lives when you felt in darkness, when it felt like goodness was far away, a distant, maybe non-existent country. So we pray, deliver us from evil. Notice, we don't say, destroy evil. We don't say, take away the evil. We say, deliver us from evil. Remember, this is Jesus teaching us this prayer. Jesus, who came and people thought he might come as a great warrior on a horse, slaying all the Romans and getting rid of the evil Roman Empire. And he didn't. He taught the people love. He taught them how to overcome evil with good. So we don't pray destroy evil, we pray deliver us from evil. Deliver us. When I hear the word deliver, I think about mail or packages, you know, that get delivered. What does that mean? Well, it means something starts in one place and is delivered somewhere else, taken somewhere else. You know, if the post office called you and said, all of your mail has been sitting in a back room here for 6 months, I don't think you would say, oh, they did a good job of delivering it. No, it's got to get from one place to the other. So we say to God, deliver us from a place of evil, a place where we feel surrounded by evil, to a place of goodness, to you and your kingdom. Deliver us. Move us from this place to another place. Now, does that happen here? Are we talking about the next life? Yeah, maybe. I don't know. But we are talking about being moved from wherever we feel surrounded and overcome by evil to a place where we will feel less so. Whatever that might mean, in whatever way it means. The important thing is, I think, we acknowledge the divine postal worker who will deliver us. We are like packages. If you have a package you want delivered to your great aunt who lives in Spokane, and you set it on your porch, it's going to stay on your porch until you find someone to deliver it. The package will not deliver itself. Even if you have a drone that flies over and takes it, it will not deliver itself. And so it is for us. We are like packages who need someone to deliver us from a place of evil to a place of goodness. And so we turn to God, saying, we do live in a world full of evil, suffering, pain. Some of it comes from within ourselves. Some of it may come from other places. But we know we are in such a place and we want to go somewhere else, to a place of goodness and peace. We can't do it ourselves, God. So be our refuge, be our fortress, be our deliverer. If not immediately, someday. Let us know we are not alone and that there is light and hope and salvation and deliverance. And that's why we turn to you, O God. I want to end with some words from the great writer Cyprian from way back in the Christian church. Here's what Cyprian said about this phrase in the Lord's Prayer. When we have once asked for God's protection against evil and have obtained it, then against everything which the devil and the world can do against us, we stand secure and safe. For what fear is there in this life for the person whose guardian is God? These words we pray are words of great trust and hope and confidence, not in ourselves, but in our God, our deliverer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.